This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, we'll hear about a new Cincinnati Conservatory of Music Artist-in-Residence program at the Twin Towers Senior Living Community. First, the Art Academy of Cincinnati started in 1869, originally part of the University of Cincinnati. 10 years ago, the Art Academy moved from locations in Eden Park and Mount Adams to its new campus in Over the Rhine, and the Academy is getting ready to celebrate its 10th year anniversary there. Joining us for a look at the mission, history, and future of the Art Academy of Cincinnati are President John Sullivan, Dean Kim Krause, and Vice President of Institutional Advancement, External Relations, and Community Education, Joan Kaup. You can join the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And John, Joan, and Kim, good to see you this afternoon. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us here. Thanks.
John, start us off by telling us how the Art Academy of Cincinnati got its start.
Well, there was a gift that was given to the city by a fellow named McMicken. And, of course, everybody in Cincinnati recognizes McMicken as a very common name up on the hill. And so even though the city couldn't use the gift straight away, a few years later they opened the McMicken School of Design.
And originally, did the school have a different focus? It was industrial art, wasn't it?
You know, I think that's an unfortunate overlay of modern nomenclature on an old situation. Okay. It wasn't uncommon to call a painting school a school of design.
Now, when did the school actually change its name, John?
Well, at some point, they joined the Cincinnati Museum Association and became affiliated with the museum. And then very shortly after they built the museum building and moved the museum in, then the Art Academy joined it and changed its name.
So it was actually affiliated with the Cincinnati Art Museum for a little while. And when did that affiliation end?
Oh, the mid-90s. Kim might know the date exactly.
Kim?
I don't, but it was somewhere around there for sure.
Mid-90s. And now it's an independent school.
Exactly, yes.
Now, how did the school, back in its early days, how does it compare to what it became, John?
Well, in the early days, there was a European atelier model for schools that taught that kind of subject matter. And so they were very much a European institution transplanted into the United States. And so easel painters, bucolic landscapes, portrait painters, church decorations, those kinds of things were de rigueur at the time.
But it's always been a visual arts school, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, very much so, yes.
Now, why did the school move from its Eden Park and Mount Adams locations to Over the Rhine?
Space.
Space. You know,
we had to find a bigger place. We just discovered that there was about 40,000 square feet of usable space up on the hill. And when they moved to OTR, they gained 112,000 square feet. So it was a chance for expansion.
So it's almost triple in size from what it really was. That has to be huge, dealing with that change.
Well, and we gave the space to the students. And so they have plenty of room to work and to experience the life of an artist, and we think that's very beneficial to their development.
Now, but how has the school affected the community? What's the relationship been like?
Well, we feel like Over the Rhine has grown up around us, you know, the modern Over the Rhine. It's been wonderful to watch it. I've only been there a few years myself, but people that have been there quite some time just constantly remark at how amazing that's been.
Yeah, Kim, can you give us some perspective on how the school's location in Over the Rhine has affected the community?
Well, I think that when we were contemplating a move, of course, it wasn't without some risk. But the Academy has always been a place where risk is something that we do every day. And so moving into Over the Rhine for us as artists didn't seem to be such a huge deal. I mean, we're gritty. Artists thrive sometimes where, you know, animals might die. Jane Jacobs wrote a wonderful book almost 50 years ago on the life and death of great American cities. And she described exactly how artists move into neighborhoods because they're cheaper. There's lots of space. There's usually lots of light. And there's lots of really interesting people. And so when we found out that the Art Museum owned a building on Jackson Street it became an interesting proposition to acquire the building next door and put them together. We were divided between Mount Adams and Eden Park. And even though it's a lovely walk between those two buildings, sometimes those February days in Cincinnati where the ice is falling and the students are trying to carry heavy portfolios or glass pallets, it wasn't really great. So we thought if we could combine those two things into one, it would really be good. Now, the Over the Rhine Chamber of Commerce was starting up in the late 70s and early 80s, and I was a member of that. And knowing the community there, I thought this is just going to be a fabulous opportunity for us to be down there. I don't think that somebody like Jim Tarbell or myself ever envisioned Over the Rhine becoming what it is now, almost pricing our students right out of the neighborhood. But it's certainly a renaissance to behold. I mean, to say that we were a catalyst for that, I think we're really proud to have been one of the very first to put down roots and say, we're here, we're the arts, you know, look at the rest of the arts that are around us and come on down.
Now, describe the facility. What kinds of resources and things are on campus now?
You know, who wouldn't really, you know, there's an artist in the country that wouldn't love 120,000 square foot warehouse space for themselves, yes. Right? And we were able to divide it up into student studios, classroom spaces. Matter of fact, we believe that the Art Academy, the way it is now, is the only art school in the country that was basically designed by its faculty. Which could be a good thing. It's definitely a strange idea to let the faculty figure out where things should go. But we have ample space right now. It's beautiful. There's lots of light. It's crazy. The student studios are all up around a six-story atrium, so it can be very noisy and wonderful. Lots of high energy.
John, is letting the faculty have a hand in this, was that a good idea?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Nobody knows better what needs to be in place to support certain activities than the people who are engaged in those activities. And so, you know, by saying, okay, this is your space, you lay it out like you think it should be, you get a much better product that way.
How many students attend the Art Academy, John?
About 200.
About 200? Mm-hmm. And how many degree programs do you offer?
Well, we have six different Bachelor of Fine Arts programs, and we have an Associate's program in Graphic Design. And then we have a master's program for art educators that runs in the summer.
How does the Art Academy compare to other similar art schools across the country?
We are a member of ACAD, which is a consortium of independent art schools. There are, at the last time I counted, there's 43 of them in North America, in the United States and Canada. And I think you'll find smaller versions of the model. You'll find much larger versions of the model, but most of them have a basic configuration that looks very much like the Art Academy does.
But you're one of the smaller schools out
we
there,
are,
is that
indeed,
correct?
We are, indeed, yes.
How does that work to your advantage, being one of the smaller art schools in the nation?
There are selling points. We are able to manage a class size much better than some larger schools are. We have a very close relationship between faculty and students that's enviable. We're able to give those students their own individualized space to do their work. You know, imagine if you had 2,000 students, how many square feet it would take to do that, right? So it's a nice manageable number. The students like it because of the close relationships they have with one another and with the faculty, and they like being in the building. It's a great place to be.
Well, and I think, too, that art education isn't any more informational. It's experiential. And the more intimate the environment, the greater that experiential experience can be between the student and the faculty, who are all practicing artists and designers, which makes us a little bit different than just going to a standard university with professors and things. I mean, we all get to the studio every day and we bring those struggles back into the school. So it's more like peer teaching, I think. So the smaller the student body, but we're about, our student faculty ratio is about 9-1. Most universities are in that 20-1. So we're at a place where a student gets just an incredible amount of personal attention. And since that's the way art is taught, they become stronger artists.
You have to remember that art still models on the old European model of the guilds. And so these students that come to us as part of their preparation to be a practicing artist, they really are apprentices. And so when they have a close relationship with the master who is teaching them their practice, it's just a better relationship.
John, have you ever thought about, have there ever been plans to make the school larger in terms of the number of students, or is this at the level you're at is where you want to stay at?
We would like to add about another 20-25% to the student body, but we're fairly close to optimum right now, and we've got the headroom and the space for that. So we could accommodate up to 250 or perhaps even 300 students without stretching, straining the resources.
Without losing that personal touch that you have right now.
There you go.
Kim, how has the school's curriculum changed over the past 20 plus years?
Well, I think if you look at just how art's changed over the last 20 years, we're both trying to be edgy and responsive at the same time. I think we've got one of the most really innovative curriculums of anybody in the country, again, because of the small size. So it's on a tutorial basis the first year and the fourth year. So you're really working with one student can be meeting with four or five faculty in a single day about their work. It's not necessarily the standard classroom experience anymore. We're small, so we're flexible. We can move on a dime. We just created a film video program, and we did it pretty much overnight, and it's starting to really pick up steam. I mean, if we wanted to, we could probably, you know, create our own radio station too. We'd have to get Joan on board for that, but we can change fairly quickly in response to what the students are experiencing out in the world, and so we're there for them.
So film and video, have you gotten a good response to that? Have people said, yeah, that's great?
It makes good sense.
And it's a good fit.
And you have to remember that it's what the students want. I mean, they're in a world where things move around them. And so as makers and creators, they want their things to move as well. So what we're doing in the instructional program is just giving them the means to do that within the context of their own work.
Yeah, we've been actually catching up a little bit. The students have been making films all along, I mean, for years. And once they could realize they could do it on their phones, we realized, well, let's bump this up a little bit. Like, let's get some people in here that have really great experience doing this. And I don't know if anybody heard that we're doing film video or not, but, you know, now that they're filming a major motion picture over there today, maybe it's just a, you know, people found out and they're here now. But
it's very fun. We had the film crew from Marauders at the school.
Okay.
And there was 20 of them. They just swarmed over their school from top to bottom, nooks and crannies, rooms we never even opened up to the public before. And they decided that it was the perfect setting for the prison and the meth lab. And I went, oh dear, what are you doing to our marketing? But, the crew is there, and they've been wonderful. They've been interacting with the students. The actors have been very generous with their time, and photography students and the film students and the painting students, because you have to transform these classrooms into a totally different looking set. So it's very artistic. It's very interactive, and it's been a really pretty positive experience all the way around.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's a great learning experience for the students as
it
well.
Is.
They're seeing how art's become very collaborative. I think that, I mean, I'm an old fuddy-duddy guy. I still go to the studio by myself and make my work, and it's a very romantic tradition. But for most of these students, those days are long gone. This collaborative aspect these students are seeing with this film crew, I mean, it's 85 people racing around. They seem to be able to know exactly what they're doing. It's just fascinating to watch. And so many of the students work on collaborative projects now, but art and design, much more a collaborative situation.
We will continue our conversation about the Art Academy as it marks 10 years in Over the Rhine. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us this afternoon from the Art Academy of Cincinnati, President John Sullivan, Dean Kim Krause, and Vice President of Institutional Advancement, External Relations, and Community Education, Joan Kalp. You can be part of the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Kim, do the students use Over the Rhine as a subject of their art? Do you find that happening?
I think artists find their subjects wherever they are. And if your experience living is in a neighborhood like Over the Rhine, you're going to see it. And we have more and more as Over the Rhine becomes a greatly diversified neighborhood, we're seeing our students react to that, you know, both in positive and negative ways, which is good in art and good for artists. The neighborhood is so dynamic that I don't think that a student could help but be affected by it.
What's the housing situation for students in the neighborhood?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. We have two dorms. We have about 30 students who live above the Taste of Belgium restaurant. And imagine that. I mean, you can go down for breakfast and have a Belgian waffle at the Taste. And then we have another building on the corner of 13th and Main that houses another 20 students. That's above an art supply store. So how good is that? So both of these are very walkable. They're a block or so away from the college. They're under our management, so we have RAs in place. We have our security systems in place. We have our wireless telecommunications in place. Makes a good environment for the kids. And they're living right there in OTR.
And you got about, what, if I counted right, about 50?
50. 50? Yeah, about a quarter of the students are on campus.
So you're primarily a commuter school then, is it?
Well, yes. Yeah. And that's always been the history of the Art Academy. It's typically had about 85% of its student body have been greater Cincinnati residents.
Kim, how's the we're talking about how the curriculum's changed. Has the student profile changed over the past couple of decades?
Oh, I think that the profile of any of these high schoolers going to college has changed. The one thing that hasn't changed, I mean, yes, you know, we all know about the difficulties of getting into college, completing college. There's a lot of challenges there. The one thing that hasn't changed, that there still seems to be just a huge number of high school students with this amazing desire to be artists. The necessity of that desire is what's driving them, and it's what really is going to make them successful. Very much different than, say, if you went into just a standard liberal arts college or a business college where you're really preparing for a field that's going to simply supply you money so you can do something else. This is really a school, it always has been a school, where people come to live. I mean, this is a living kind of atmosphere. This is what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. And so art stops being a noun, really, and starts being a verb. And the fact that you make things, sometimes that residue it's just out there, right? But, you know, for our students, we say you'll keep it light because you're going to be moving it around if you don't, you know, it accumulates. So the students pick up on that pretty fast, and they realize that, you know, for them, art is a process. It's a living process. They get excited about it, and the end result is you actually put new things into the world.
What's a typical day like for a student at the Art Academy?
Well, we wish they would get up a little earlier. A lot of students like to, you know, their first class of the day would be at 12:30, which makes the 8:30s pretty tough. Our students, I think, are typical of a lot of college students. They burn the candle at both ends. Because these students have such tremendous desire to achieve in the arts, they push themselves really hard. I mean, it's stimulating to watch. It makes the rest of us get to our studios and do work because we have to work harder than our students. To see how they function, you don't realize that people can really live off of Diet Pepsi and potato chips for an entire week. It's that bohemian lifestyle. They eventually come around.
So are there a lot, how's it divide up? I mean, is most of the time studio time, classroom time? How does that work out?
Do you know, it's an art school. So, and we have a really strong liberal studies part of the curriculum. So your 30 of your classes are going to be in traditional kinds of liberal studies. We are a center for contemporary poetry in the community. Many of our students become well-known poets as well as designers and artists. It's exciting.
One of the things you have to remember about any art school is the students are in class twice as much as a normal college student. For most students, a 3-hour class means they're in class for 3 hours a week. For an art school, a student who's in class for a 3-hour class is in class 6 hours a week. So just the time that they spend in their environment with their hands in the work is considerable. And so you can imagine the level of dedication and the level of a commitment that's required to keep that up for 4 years.
Hmm. Well, what do the graduates do? I mean, what's your record? Did they stay in town? Did they go on to art careers? How much success have you had with the graduates?
They are all over the country, all over the world. Regardless of what career path they choose, we've given them some very basic abilities to be creative in their life. And so some of them obviously follow an artist's career, but others find ways to do so many other different things. And they find, and they report back to us, thank goodness, that the preparation they received at the Art Academy set them up for their life experiences.
Hmm. Who are some of the notable alumni and faculty in Art Academy history?
Well, I was just in touch with Peta Coyne, who graduated in 1977. She's had an outstanding career. She currently has work up at the Venice Biennale. She has work on exhibit right now in 7 museums around the world. She has a thriving practice in New York, is represented by numerous galleries. And she's just one of these people who a typical Art Academy graduate. I mean, I think she told me she went 14 years without taking a day off after she graduated, which is kind of amazing. But if you're doing what you love, why stop doing it? And I think that I wouldn't say that she's typical. She's had enormous success, but she's also, you know, passed some of that back around to some of our students who've gone to work for her in New York. And it's been great to see how that kind of legacy continues on. Though that, you know, she's, let's call her a mid-career artist, even though she graduated in 77. There's been a lot. We just had a student got back in touch with us because, he started a blue jean company.
Really?
And it's a big deal. I mean, these jeans cost more than my monthly mortgage. And we found out about it because, it was a beautiful article in the New York Times about him down in Tennessee, making these jeans for all the Hollywood celebrities. So, being a creative doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a gallery situation or have your own design firm. It means you can pretty much do whatever it is you want to do.
We're talking about the Art Academy of Cincinnati with John Sullivan, Kim Krause, and Joan Kalp. Thanks to Dan Sifferlin for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. And Joan, you're getting ready to celebrate this 10th anniversary of being in Over the Rhine. Tell me about the event.
We've been talking about the building and how it has changed the school and what the last 10 years has been like. But you can't lose sight of the fact that it was some very generous foundations and individuals that made that move possible. Mm-hmm. And imagine how bold they had to be to think, because Over the Rhine is not what it is. When they decided to move down here, it was a very bold, very strategic, very thoughtful decision. And so now we get to say, 10 years, and we're in a better, stronger, smarter place, and it's time to celebrate that. So we will bring our donors together in a way to publicly say thank you. It was all the right thing to do. It will be at the Verdon Bell Event Center. It's October 23rd at 7 o'clock. Tickets are on sale at www.artacademy.edu/tickets.
Yeah, and we'll have a link to that at wvxu.org as well.
Thank you.
But what's going to go on? I mean, you're going to be celebrating. You're going to have music, food, all kinds of things.
Well, it's hosted by the Art Academy Alumni Council, mm-hmm. and it is one of their Beaux-Arts Ball, which is a very outrageous, fun party that they do periodically. And it's a masquerade ball. So doors open at 7, and there will be cocktails and mingling and a chance to watch everyone come in all their colors and all their costumes. We will have a nice sit-down dinner at 8 o'clock with the program, and John will have a few remarks, and George Hensler, who's the president of the council, and Susan Crabtree, who's the president of our board. And our honorees are those people who were significantly generous. The Otto M. Buttig Family Foundation, the Kaplan Family Foundation, Manuel D. and Rhoda Mayerson Foundation, P&G, Eleanor CU Alms Trust at Fifth Third Bank, Western and Southern. And of course, we're going to invite John Ruthven and Carl Solway because you need the artist to connect
you. He's a notable alumni.
Absolutely.
John. Yes.
So it's going to be a wonderful party. And then there's lots of dancing until midnight. We have two bands. One is a local band called The Burning Caravan, and one is from California, and that's called Groove Sessions. So we've got some great performances coming in as well.
Sounds like it's going to be a fun day.
I think it's going to be a great time.
So, John, what's in store for the Art Academy in the future?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. We've got, for the first time in a while, a very workable strategic plan out in front of us. It does call for some incremental growth in enrollment. You know, we talked about that a bit ago. We have two unused spaces within the facility. We have an 8,000-square-foot empty space on the corner of 12th and Jackson that we would love to do something productive in. It may become the home for our film video program. Who knows? And then we have on the top of the north building, there's a potential for a very nice green roof rooftop garden. So we're looking for ways to muster support behind those two projects and create some additional facilities at 12th and Jackson to help the Art Academy move along.
Do you have any programs for kids and individuals in the community who are interested in art?
The program is our community education, and we have the art camp every summer for children starting at age 5. We have teen camp for the teenagers. We have a portfolio prep class that is wonderful. It's a week long, a real deep dive to help high school kids prepare their art portfolio for college, whether they choose our school or some other school. And that's important. We have classes throughout the year, painting, sculpture, film, for folks of all ages.
We typically serve about 3,000 community people in our community education programs every year.
Yep.
Kim, what would be your advice for someone who's thinking about pursuing a career in art?
Listen to your heart and follow it.
John, what would you say?
Well, I'm a graphic designer by trade, so I'd say pay attention to your chops. Learn how to do what you need to do.
Joan?
I wish I was the artist, but I'm not.
But you are. You're creative in a different way.
I'm creative in a different way. And I would encourage any of the kids to be very true to their own intentions and their own integrity and to explore all their options. And then just say yes and go for it.
Well, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Academy of Cincinnati President John Solovan, Dean Kim Krause, and Vice President of Institutional Advancement, External Relations, and Community Education, Joan Kalb. Coming up, we'll hear about the new Artist-in-Residence program created by the College Conservatory of Music and Twin Towers Senior Living Community. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.